Too deep, too soon.
Good morning. My name is Kevin. I'm excited to be here. I'm honored to be here. My friend Jamie Johnson. We've been having breakfast and lunches. It's always over food with Jamie. Have you noticed that? We've been eating, and I've really complied very well with that. But we've been hanging out for a couple years, and we've become good friends, and I trust him and love him as a brother in Christ, and he has asked me to come here and teach this morning, and I'm honored to do that. I've heard so many good things about so many of you, and only a few bad things about a few of you, and I know where you're sitting. So, but anyway, I'm glad to be here. I'm excited about it, and this morning we're talking about this idea of evangelism, which I know when I say the word evangelism, half of you don't really understand what it means, and the other half are so excited you want to do the wave right now. And so I'm gonna try and help both of you get to a place where we understand a little bit more about how we share our faith with the world around us. And it's important. It's a very, very important thing for us to do, is be able to share this hope, this salvation, this rescue that we've received in a relationship with Christ. Now, some of you in this room likely don't have a relationship with Jesus. This doesn't fully apply to you. However, you are invited into that salvation. And you can give your life over to Christ. All you have to do is simply believe and have faith that he has died for you, that he loves you, that he calls you his child, and come into a relationship with him, and you can be saved. And so that's for you this morning. But we're going to talk about evangelism. We're going to share about what it means to share our faith. Now, I know in this room there are some of you that have been following Christ for more than 20 years. 20-year people, raise your hand. Anybody more than 20? Yeah. Look around, folks. These are the people who have been there and done that. And I know for a fact, just based on statistics and information from past experience, that many of those people that raise their hand have never led anybody to Jesus Christ. And they struggle with that. There's a heartache in that. And I know there are some of you that have recently given your life over to Christ, and you've never shared it. And I know there are some of you that have just recently given your life over to Christ, and you won't shut up about it. So we have all kinds of people in this room. And I'm going to try and speak to all of you. Now, we're in a series called Go Green. The idea is simply this, that we as a church grow. That we grow the body of Christ in this community, in our church, in your neighborhood. You are sharing this message that is explosive to the world. The message and hope of Jesus Christ. And it's hard. I think it's hard. Do you think it's kind of hard? I mean, how many think like you've gotten to that point where you're going to tell somebody about Jesus and you chicken out? Anybody do that? I do that all the time. All the time. And it's very difficult. And a lot of times we feel like maybe that guy on the video, we feel like if we share, we're going to be offensive or we're going to say something. They're going to think we're harsh or judgmental. And so we don't say anything then. It's a difficult process. I'm going to give you the simplest form of evangelism that is out there. It is proven biblically by Jesus. And it's so simple that everybody is going to leave here today. We're going to do this. And we're going to have 5 services by the end of this year. That's how good it is. Feel like an infomercial. Not for $29.95. 3 payments. No. And I'll double your order. But I'm excited to be here. And I'm honored, like I said. You know, to be honest with you, one of the most impressive things about your pastor is when I'm at a restaurant with him, that brother will share his faith with anybody. If you've ever eaten dinner with him and had him pass out those cards about the church, maybe some of you are here because of that. Because he so strongly feels that reaching the lost world for the hope of Christ is the most important thing he has to do. He's an evangelist. And when I'm sitting, anybody ever sat with him when he does this? Right? When he's sitting there, he's inviting the waitress or waiter to the church and, hey, could you put some of those cards in the room and hand them out to your people? Anybody do that? Anybody, he does that. Go out to eat with him. Watch him. He'll take cards from the church and hand them out. And that's his tip. It's disgusting. No, I'm kidding. That's not his tip. But it's awesome. And I tell you what, it takes a lot of courage to do that. I'm not like that. I'm going to be real honest with you. I have a hard time with that. Now, I have since done it because your pastor has kind of set an example for me. He's discipled me in that. He doesn't even know it, and don't tell him that I said that. But I've started to do that more because of his boldness. He's not ashamed. And here's the beauty of it. He's not trying to reach the CEO of a company that can bring a lot of money into this place. He's doing this for people that work on tips in restaurants. He's not doing it for show. He's not doing it for glory. He's not doing it for money. He's not doing it as the plan A of this church to be financially solvent. He's doing it because he loves Jesus. I love that about your pastor. I hope you do too. I hope some of you are in here because you've seen that and experienced it, and it's just been a blessing to you. So let's kind of dig in. And the first thing I want to do is kind of teach you a couple basic things you may already know, and some of you still struggle with this. And so I'm going to teach you something that is important to hear before we go into this message on evangelism. All right, get ready for this, because some of you are going to disagree or have a hard time with it. But listen, this is so important. Even if you followed Christ for 20 years, 20 plus years, you will struggle with this at times. Listen, here it is. You ready? There is nothing that you can do to impress God. There is nothing that you can do to impress God. That's the first part of the truth. Nothing. You can leave today and share your faith with 1,000 people. It does not impress him. You can become the pastor of your own church and have 15 services and 14,000 people. It does not impress God. There is nothing that you can do. You can leave here. You can sell all your goods, give them to the poor, and you can help people and sit with a bullhorn by a tent in downtown Louisville telling people about Jesus to turn or burn, and it will not impress God. That will really not impress God. But you can do all those things for the effort of the kingdom of God, and you will never make a greater impression on him than you have already made on him right now as his son or daughter. You are his completely, and you can do nothing more to cause him to love you any more than you have already done. Now, that sounds hard for those that are doers, but for those of us who are not doers, it sounds pretty good. It's like, oh, thank goodness. Because I thought I was a real failure. I just was, you know, I was going to be God's black sheep of the, you know, church family. I was cool with that. There's nothing you can do to impress God. I don't know where we get that, but how many struggle with that, right? You do things so that God will love you more. How many do that? Any more of you do it than I know. How many of you don't do things because you already figure out, like, he's already disappointed with me. I can't do any more to disappoint him. Yeah, okay. And we do that, and I tried to figure this out. And then yesterday, not that I wrote my sermon yesterday, but yesterday, my son Levi, 6 years old, we're at a birthday party at a swimming pool, indoor little swimming pool deal. And he's swimming, he's having a blast, he's having fun, and he's playing with his friends, and I'm talking to some adults there, just, you know, having a conversation with strange people. And we're just having a conversation, and my son runs over soaking wet and goggles. He looks like a total goofball. He interrupts me while I'm talking to someone, which I love. And then he said, Dad, you got to come see this. You got to come see this. And I'm like, hold on, son. You interrupt me, and I'm talking. And he's just waiting there, and he's like doing this number, dancing. He's like, and he's like, Dad, you got to come see this. And I'm like, what? He goes, come here. And so I get out of my chair, and I'm walking over to the edge of the pool, and he goes, watch this. I'm so excited. And he's looking, Dad, are you watching? You watching? And then he jumps into the water, and he puts his head halfway down into the water, and then he swims 3 feet. And I'm like waiting for him to do something. And he gets out of the water. He does this. Did you see me? That was fantastic, right? That was the greatest show on earth. Dad, did you watch me? I saw you, Levi. That was amazing. That was so good, son. Wow, you were right, gold medalist. I mean, that was impressive. Son, go back to swim. I'm going to go back over here. And so I walk away, and I've got that look of shame as a parent. No, I'm kidding. But I'm like, it's so cute how much he wants to impress his father. There's something in us, right? We just want to impress God. You know, Scripture tells us that God loves us more than our earthly parents, that it can't even compare. And I'm starting to get it now. Because there's nothing that you and I can do to impress him, but there's also nothing that you and I can do to cause him to love you less. We do have the perfect Father. and he loves you. And when you walk out of here with these ideas for servant evangelism, don't walk out of here thinking you're going to jump through hoops to impress God. Walk out of here saying, I got a God and a Father who's got my back no matter what and loves me, and I don't have to impress him, and I'm excited to serve and love the world so that I can be a part of salvation for them, so I can play a role in God's kingdom. Now, nobody in this room would drive out of here today and you drive down the highway or the road and you see a family and they've had an accident and they're overturned and their truck's on fire. How many of you would drive on by and say, well, boy, they're going to be in for a lot of trouble. Well, that's really sad. I hope somebody stops and helps them. Anybody who would, every one of us would stop, right? You would stop and pull them out of that wreckage and save them from that. And so the reason that we are to learn to evangelize and share the message of hope of Jesus Christ is not to impress God, but it's because we love him and we love the people around us, the broken, lost people. And this is probably the difficulty with evangelism, is your ability to love people that are hard to love. And so we're going to kind of walk through a little bit of that too. This is about servant evangelism. And I want to ask this question first. This is to be for... Do you think that Jesus desires for us to share his name with other people? I mean, just yes or no. Yes? Shake your head. Yes or no? Yes? Yeah, right. He does, right? In fact, I can prove it to you. We can go through some biblical examples of when Jesus shared himself with others. We can prove it, but he always did it. Here's the thing about Jesus. He always did it with service in mind first. He healed people. He fed people. He loved people. He talked kind to people. He stopped people from getting stoned. Not that. You guys put that down and snuff that out. That's none of that. That's not what I meant. He stopped people from getting rocks thrown at them. And I help this crowd. I heard about you guys. Anyway, Jesus loved people, and that always seemed to come first before he ever talked about the salvation part. But because he loved them, he shared with them salvation. How are we going to do that? I mean, most of us in this room, including myself, fail miserably when it comes to that, right? How many of you showed up this morning as I brought up the word evangelism? One of the first little inkling of feelings that comes into your soul and your heart is guilt. How many? As soon as I said evangelism, you were like, oh man, come on. Servant evangelism is not that difficult. It's not that hard. And I'm not going to add hours to your schedule. I'm not going to ask you to meet up here for a month, 3 hours a night, for 3 days a week, and so we can learn about servant evangelism. You don't have to do that. You can start today and go into work tomorrow and not change anything in your schedule and practice this. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. But Jesus did it, and he did it so well. And I want to continue with some of the examples. When he was with the woman at the well in John 4, and she was like a mess, and she came in the middle of the day to get the water because she was such a mess that she couldn't be around the other ladies that came in the morning when it was cool. She had to come in the heat of day to get her water because she was an embarrassed person because of all the sin and mess in her life. Jesus spoke to her, and he offered her living water, and he served her up the beauty of salvation and forgiveness. And he challenged her. It was a difficult conversation. Jesus fed 5,000 in John 6, and it was more like 15,000 because they didn't count the ladies back then and the children. They only counted the men. 15,000 people got fed as Jesus broke bread and gave it out. He served people. He healed people. He brought people back to life. He cast demons out. He did all these miraculous, powerful things, which you and I, in many respects, are able to do. He prayed with people. He loved people. He laughed with people. He ate meals with people. And then the last play, and I'm not demeaning what Jesus did by calling it a play, but the last thing that Jesus did was such a powerful reflection of how you and I are supposed to become that it was one of the last moments he had with his disciples. Now, how many are basketball fans in here? Anybody like basketball or football? Or anybody coach? Anybody ever coach? And, you know, when you're coaching, and if you've ever gone to a game and watched a really good coach, like John Calipari or something like that, if you've ever watched a good coach, and there's other good coaches as well in this city, but one of the things they do is whatever they want I mean, high school coaches. Anyway, whatever they want you to remember, they tell you that in the beginning when you come to the huddle and right before you leave the huddle, right? Like, let's say it's the last second. You got to get the rebound off a free throw that this other team is shooting. And he says, we got to get the rebound, guys. I need you to box out. I need you to box out. Put your who's got the shooter? Who's going to box out the shooter? Who's got? Everybody's got to have a man. You got to box out because we must have this rebound for the end of this game. We got to have it. And he'll start with that. And then he'll draw up a play about the offense on the other end of the floor. And then before they leave the huddle, what does he tell them to do? Box out. Get the rebound. That's the first step. The most important thing that a coach always gives them at the beginning and at the end. It happens like every time. Box out, box out. And even when they're on the line and the guy's shooting the free throws, he's going, box out, and he's screaming it. And he wants to make sure they know, get the rebound, box out. When Jesus is in the final huddle with his disciples and they're in the upper room and he's feeding them, he's giving them bread and he says, this is my body. He's giving them juice. He says, this is my blood. And he's feeding them. And then he says to them, I'm going to show you what it's like to live in my kingdom. And he strips his clothes down to his undergarments. He takes a towel and a basin of water. And then he begins to do the job of the lowest servant in a household in that day. He begins to wash their feet and dry them off. It was the dirtiest part of the body that was exposed to the dust and the dirt and the muck and the animal refuse and everything else. And it was gross to wash somebody's feet. And they left that job to the servant in the house that was the lowest on the totem pole. And so Jesus does it. If you want to become great in my kingdom? Serve. You want to become the most, become the least. Serve one another. You see, there's evidence this morning, and we know that it's there that the Bible is telling us we should be like this. And it's not so we can impress God or so he'll love us more. Please, please understand this. God loves you perfectly right now. Yes, he knows what you did last night. Yes, he knows about that lie. Yes, he knows about that gossip. Yes, you should try to not do those things, but he still loves you perfectly right now. And there's nothing you can do to get him to love you more. He already sent his son on the cross to show you his love. You need more? He loves us. And we're not impressing him, but we are doing this because we love him and we want other people to experience that love that we receive from God. And maybe for some of you, this sermon stops right here, and you wrestle with that truth today. Maybe for some of you, this idea of God loving you perfectly and you not having to impress him anymore is too much to handle right now. You've been living your Christian life trying to show off for God. And now some guy up here is telling me to stop. But you need that freedom. You are not enslaved to the kingdom of God. You are free to live in the kingdom of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so much better that we react in the thing of evangelism and serving others out of the love of God other than the servitude of God or the enslavement of God? That's not it. We got it wrong if that's the way we're thinking. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to do this out of love for God and the people in his kingdom, for our family, our neighbors, even difficult people, our enemies. And when you start to look at the word of God through the light of what I've just said to you, it's amazing how much more true some of the things that are said, like loving your enemies, how much truer and more understanding you have when you realize your relationship with God is perfect already. But I want you, if you got a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. If you don't, the words are going to be up on the screen here. And we're going to kind of walk through this section of scripture from Paul. And I'm going to take a drink of water here, pardon me. And now every time I drink water, I think of a politician. I don't know why, but anyway, crazy weeks. Philippians chapter 2, let's look at that together. Verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. You know, I read that verse and I just think about how perfect it sounds to just be in that mode right there. If you're comfortable, if you're encouraged, if you feel love, I mean, that feels like really cozy to me. That feels like what I want to feel daily. I don't want to feel rejection or discomfort. I like feeling comfort and love. And this is what Paul is saying here. If you have any of that because of the love of Christ, he says, complete my joy, verse 2, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, this one's hard. This one's really difficult for me. One, because I'm a very prideful person. I mean, even parts of me, as I confess to you that I'm prideful, want you to think I'm really humble because I tell you about my sin. Isn't that sick? Anybody like that? I mean, you just have pride. We all have pride in us in some form or fashion. And some of us even fake humility and downness because our pride is causing, changed us into this really sad person, but it's still pride that got us there. We all have this thing that causes us to want to put ourselves above others. Now, I can help you recognize this real quick. Anybody ever been cut in line in a store, Target, Starbucks? Anybody? Anybody ever have been cut off by somebody in a car? Anybody ever have thoughts of revenge or acts of revenge that you actually did? My wife and I are heading to Target over here in Springhurst one day, and this girl runs the stop sign at the four-way stop there by the Meijer and all that. You know what I'm talking about, right? She runs it and cuts right in front of me. I almost hit her. We got our newborn, firstborn son in the car. This is a while back. And I'm so mad. And I act mad because I say that it's because she put my family in danger. But in my soul, I know it's because she thinks she's better than me. That's what I think. This is the flesh, by the way. And so when we park, I say something to the girl. I'm that guy. I go, hey, you almost killed my family. This is back when I was so immature, like 4 or 5 years ago. You almost killed, what? Yeah, you ran the stop sign, and I was in front of you. I was supposed to go before you. That's how it works, and you almost hit me. I didn't even see you, and then she kind of starts to cry, and then that's when I feel really small, and that's how you become less, is by humiliating yourself. No, there's just something in us that wants to get even or feel better than the other person. What Paul is saying here, as he prepares us to become servants, is that first we got to consider other people better than us. Think of the worst person in your neighborhood, your apartment building, your street, your job. Think of the laziest person everybody complains about. How difficult is it for you to consider them better than you? Maybe you're like a really on top of it worker, seeking the promotion, the upward mobility. You're sharp. You got it all together. And maybe this person is just a slacker. They show up late. They cut out on breaks early. They're constantly just, you got a whole list of things that they do wrong. And I want you to think about it for just a second. How hard is it for you to think of that person being better than you? It's very difficult. One of the steps to us becoming servants is to think less of ourselves and more of others, even those we find difficult to do that with, or even our enemies, is what the scripture says. That's the first step. You can't jump into just picking up limbs and raking leaves for people and then decide that's servant evangelism. The first step is you and me deciding that we're not better than anybody. And that actually, the people that seem like really big failures in our lives, we're to consider better than us. It's hard to do, right? Humble yourself. Do not do anything out of rivalry or conceit, pride, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That's great. First, we're to do this very difficult challenge of considering others better than us. And then he says, you should really do this and have this in your mind and your thought pattern in life because you're in Christ Jesus. This is you. This is what you're made up of now as a follower of Christ. And then he goes on. I love Paul because he always makes a really great argument. Who, though he was in the form of God, Jesus, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Nobody can walk away from here and say, it's not in the Bible, it's not clear that we're supposed to serve, love, or put other people first. Nobody can do that today, right? At this point, we've looked at enough scripture, we know, and there's other places that I can't go to for lack of time, but we know those truths. I mean, you walked in here knowing that, that you're supposed to probably humble yourself and put others before you, even your enemies. The difficult part is to be able to do that. And I think the first advantage you have is learning what I taught you in the beginning, is you can't impress God, and there's nothing you can do that make him love you more. And once you get that, there's a little bit of confidence in your relationship with God that you don't need confidence in your flesh anymore. And so you don't need to put yourself above others. You don't need to consider others less than you when you've got that relationship with God secure. And so now we begin to put in our practice daily who we can put in front of us, who we can consider better than us. And this is your challenge for this servant evangelism, this idea of sharing Christ through serving. And it works. I'm telling you, it works. I do this at work all the time, and I've tried to do it more and more. I did it yesterday at the party. I'll tell you that first. At the party, it was at a pool. She served pretzels and cookies and cake and all this stuff for these six-year-olds at a swimming pool. And they were slobs, and it was gross. And there was pretzels that got waterlogged, and they were like started out that big, and then they're like this big. And it was just a gross atmosphere. And I'm thinking, I want to get my kid and get out of here. I don't want to, you know, because there's sugar everywhere. It's just gross. And there's, you know, they've chewed on it. There's half-eaten stuff. It's just like, where's my wife? I need her to help me. So I'm thinking that. That's my thought. And then I remember I got to preach this today. And I think, you know what? Serve. Put others before you. And so I get the garbage bag, and I start cleaning up the mess, and I start scooping up with my hand the soggy pretzels, which to some of you doesn't sound gross, but you try it with pool water. They smelled bad. It was gross. And so I'm cleaning up, and I'm not doing this in a show. I'm not doing this, hey, everybody, look at me. I am the official custodian of today's party. Jesus loves you. I'm not even doing any of that. All I'm doing is serving. I got my head down. I'm cleaning up a little. The host of the party comes up to me and she says, thank you so much. You don't have to do that. And I said, oh, I know. It's just, you know, he's having fun. I'm just doing this. And thank you so much for having me come here. And I just try to consider her better than me. And I'm going to serve her, the host and her family, in this just little moment. Now, this is just a simple story. Most of the time, I sit my big rear down at a party, and I don't do anything. That's just the truth, right? Most of you are there with me. Somebody else hosts the party, that mess is their problem. How about you start cleaning up after your parties? How about you dive in? How about at work when you have those food things? Our work has these food things all the time. I work down at Humana, and they're always doing these potlucks. And I've started to be part of the cleanup people. I just get up there and clean, and some lady goes, yo, you don't have to do that. Oh, I know, that's okay. I'm fine wiping this. It's good. We're fine. I don't do it for show. I'm not wearing a T-shirt that says Jesus loves me, and I'm a servant on the back. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just trying to love people and do the things that maybe people don't like to do. And so when we have meetings, I try to pick up after the meeting, and I just do it quietly. I don't do it for show. And I've been trying to do this for a while. I've been there a year. And you know what's weird? People are starting to notice in a way where they're coming to me and sharing their junk with me. Their medical issues, their family issues, their broken relationship issues. And I get to tell them about the confidence I have in a God who loves me perfectly. In some form or fashion. I got to pray with a lady. She drops the F-bomb more than any person I've ever met. I mean, always. When she's not on the phone, she's just, oh, bad. I mean, and she sits right next to me. And I told her the other day that I loved her. She's like 6'4", big lady. I said, I love you so much. You're so funny. And she had a blood clot a few months ago in her leg. And I just prayed with her. I did. I know she doesn't go to church. It's very obvious. And I said, hey, can I pray for your leg? And I prayed for her. Now, it took a lot to get up to say that. Anybody ever almost been there? Like, I'm going to pray for that person. And then you back out, right? But it all opened, what serving does, and Jesus knew this, is it plows the field for the seed. Serving opens up the unfallowed ground so that the seed can get in there and grow. The evangelism can take place after we serve. And so I'm going to encourage you to see that it works. And maybe you've grown up and you've experienced this, but I'm telling you, it's true over and over. I worship with a guy downtown at 26 and Amy, a good friend of mine, Reverend Barry Washington, and we're buddies, and anytime he asks me to do anything, I just do it. He calls me and says, hey, Kevin, I need you to drive down here and pick up this box. And I'm like, Barry, you live down there. I just do it. I don't even ask anymore because I want to serve and evangelize the lost. And he teaches me in so many ways how to do it. We'll have a block party where he'll invite this neighborhood of people, and everybody shows up, and they eat, and they drink, and they have fun, and they play games. And we work all day, and when it's all over, there's just a mess left behind. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't some of these people stay and help clean? And we serve them. And I've talked to Barry about that, and he says, you know what? Someday they will. And not only will they stay and help clean, they'll stay and help clean because they're in a relationship with Jesus where they can serve like you and I are doing today. But we got to serve. We got to find our moments to serve so that we can get the ground ready for evangelism to take place. And it's not you having to go through the bridge and the 5 points. It's you just saying, you know what? God loves me perfectly. And he loves you too. And then you can start maybe answering some of those questions. Evangelism will happen if we begin to serve. So here's what I want you to do. This is the take home, and then we're done. I promise. This is it. Get your pen and pencil out. This is good. This is real easy. This is what you're going to do tonight when you get home. All right? First thing you're going to do is make a list of people. That sounds very difficult. My son is 6. He just learned to write. He can make a list of people. You can make a list of people. I want you to make a list of people that are difficult to serve, that are easy to serve, that are in your neighborhood, your work, in your church. I want you to make a list of people that you can serve. I know, 10 people. That's what you're going to shoot for. Make a list of 10 people that you can serve and help in some way. Put some of them on there that are the worst people in your workplace and the worst people in your neighborhood. You know the guy in your neighborhood that like sells drugs or whatever? Put him on the list. Put the guy who never cuts his grass on your list. Put the mom with the single mom that has the high school kids that break into houses. Put her on your list. Whoever you got. I mean, pick the worst, whatever you could think of. Put it on your list. Pick the person at work that's always late, always in trouble, the boss doesn't like, that you're a little scared to get close to because you might be the one that gets fired with them. Put that person on your list. Put the most difficult people to love on that list. So make a list. We got that? This is easy. This is not deeply theological either. This is easy. Make that list. The second thing is pray for every person on that list. Pray for God to show you ways that you can serve that person. And make that prayer. Keep that list somewhere where you can see it. Make sure they don't. And pray for them daily. That's what you're going to do this week. For the next 6 days, you're going to pray for that person daily. And then as you continue, you're going to pray for those. And the third thing you're going to do after you spend a few days in prayer, maybe Wednesday, let's say Wednesday night, after you've made your list and you've been praying for these people, is find intentional ways to serve these people. Now, it could be the tired guy next to you at work. that's always kind of half asleep. Maybe when you stop and get your Red Bull, you buy an extra Red Bull and you just, hey, man, you always look kind of tired. Here, I got this for you. Find out he's allergic to caffeine. He goes to the hospital, but that wasn't your fault. I thought it was a great idea, but he lived. Anyway, find ways that you can serve those people. Maybe you got the messy guy next door in the next cubicle over, and you just wipe down his cubicle and clean it for him one day. You know, try not to offend him. Like, am I stinky now? Is that my name? You know, don't offend him. But find ways that you can serve the people on that list. Maybe it's somebody really easy to serve. Maybe you have an older lady or a gentleman or a couple in your neighborhood. And here's what's awesome. And I forgot to tell the other crowd this. Servant events are great to invite non-believers to. Let's say Mr. and Mrs. Smith are 85 years old and they live two doors down from you. And you want to help them out by cleaning up that tree that's been there all winter in their backyard. What if you get a couple of your other neighbors, guys and gals, and tell them, hey, Saturday morning for 2 hours, we're going to go clean up Mrs. Smith's yard, Mr. and Mrs. Smith's yard. You want to help? Yeah, I'll help do that. You can invite unbelievers to serve with you. And so make that list, pray for those people, find ways to serve, and then you can invite lost people to serve with you. Because really, lost people are looking for to be found. I mean, that's the truth of it. And God opens doors, and he will make ways for them to hear the truth of Christ through your service. And it's beautiful. Now, if you do those things for the next 6 months, and I came back here and preached again, and I said, how many of you have shared Christ with somebody else? Every single one of you could raise your hand and say, I have. Even if you just loved and you didn't sit there and go through the Bible with them, even if you just loved them and at some point said, you know what, God loves me perfectly and he told me to love you and that's why I did this. You've evangelized. You have prepared the ground for maybe somebody else who can talk better than you. You've evangelized. You have made the soil ready for them to receive the love of Christ. You have evangelized. You want to get evangelism? Consider others better than you and find ways to serve them. It'll be remarkable. The energy in this place will be unbelievable as lost people come here because of what you're doing in the kingdom. Not because you're impressing God, not because you're earning his love or favor, but because you love him, because he already favors you, you just do it to love other people. Doesn't that sound better than maybe motivated by guilt or motivated by, you know, like living up to the Christian name or trying to impress them? Just doing it because you love. Isn't love such a much more powerful motivator? Now, Stephen and his band are going to come up now, and they're going to lead us in worship. And this is kind of an opportunity for you. Now, I knew I threw a challenge out there, and some of you are very good at this. You hear these challenges weekly, and you're able to, like, shoulder them off by the time you walk out that door. You're able to forget about, oh, that guy was just crazy, whatever. He didn't even tuck in his shirt. That guy was just crazy. He's, you know, and we make up excuses for why you won't listen to what I said. But what I told you was from the Word, and so we're going to go with that. And what I'm going to ask you to do is if you would commit to serving in that way this next 6 months, if you would commit to doing those few things that I asked you to do, would you just stand up and just say, you know, I'm going to be a part of this. This is part of the Go Green. This is part of the purpose and the mission of this church. I'm going to be a part of this. I want to do this. Would you just stand up and when the music starts to play and make that decision firm? You're going to make a list. You're going to pray, and then you're going to do. And man, you're going to be amazed at how good it is to serve God and do it that way. It's beautiful. I want to pray with you, and then if you have a decision for Christ,